There are 7 billion people in the world. It's a number that's kind of hard to grasp. It's hard to visualize, especially when you look at these as individuals. You look around and you think, okay, well, who are they? You know, 7 billion different people, 7 billion different, you know, ideas. These people, where do they live? Who are they? You know, they live in countries that maybe we don't even know, may have even heard of. You know, maps and borders are changing all the time. And maybe even if we do know of the country, don't even know who these people are and what their makeup is. And it can be very hard to comprehend exactly the mix of them. I came across a web page, and they boiled it down to 100 people. Now, 100 people, I think we can grasp a little better. When we go to the feast, you know, we have a little bit less than that, or if we combine the feast sites, it's about that many. And we can relate, I think, a little better to 100 people. So today I'd like to go over these 100 people, just a few aspects of who they are, give us a little perspective on the world. Now, of course, it was compiled by, you know, somebody, and they take stats from here and there, and whenever you have only 100 people and you're rounding up or down, you know, it's not going to be completely accurate, and there may be parts of it that are a little bit subjective, but I think we will get the idea. So to give you an idea of what we're talking about here, these 100 people, 61 of them are Asian, 13 are African, 12 are European, 9 are Latin American, and 5 are from the U.S. and Canada. So the 5 people in this 100 represent all the peoples of the USA, of Northern America, and Canada. Of those people, now here are the interesting facts. 84 of them can read. So if you look around this room of 100 people, only 84 of them can read. 83 of them have safe and clean water to drink. 80 of them live in a safe environment. 76 have electricity. 67 of them have access to good water. 61 would have access to improved sanitary conditions. 49 of them would have ample nourishment. And 20 would live in adequate housing. So as we went through the list, did you see where you fit in to the 100? Did you apply it to yourself? Of course, we're part of the 5. We're part of the few. Let's go through the list one more time. Let's just look at the other side of the coin. Of the 100, 16 cannot read. Can you? 17 didn't have safe and clean water any day of the week to drink. 20 lived in fear of death by bombardment, by armed forces, by marauders. They lived in fear of their lives. 24 would not have any electricity at all. And of course, of the 76, half of them only use electricity at night. How do you use electricity? 33 wouldn't have access to a safe water supply. Is that something that we take for granted? 39 would lack access to improved sanitation. 50 would be malnourished, and 1 would be dying of starvation. And 80 would have substandard housing. So where do we fit into that? How blessed are we truly when we look at the world as a whole? Of the 100 people, 48 actually live on less than $2 a day. 20 would live on less than $1 a day. Something I can't even imagine. Especially when you look at the U.S., and I'm not exactly sure what the average income is, but if you made $35,000 a year in the U.S., that would put you in the top 5% worldwide in terms of the richest people in the world. If you actually made $50,000 a year, you'd be in the top 1% of what the world makes. This is what we have been blessed with. This is how we've been blessed. And when we look at those blessings, we know, and you know, if we're honest, we didn't have a lot to do with the blessings of this nation, of this country. They came to us by virtue of promises God made to Abraham. So it was not really through a doing of our own as much as it was given to us. Let's look at another aspect of the 100 people. Of those 100 people that we have in the room, 52 of them can speak and act according to their faith and their conscience, like we're doing today. Half of them. 48 of them can't because of fear of harassment, imprisonment, and the threat of torture and death. Of those 100, 67 would not be Christian. 33% would be what we would call professing Christians. So one-third of the people in the room, only one-third would be Christian, quote-unquote, professing Christians. Now, of that one-third, of those 33 people, none would be in the Church of God, statistically speaking, because we do not represent that many people. We're very few. We're such a small number that we don't even register as a blip on the radar. But because many have not been called in this age, doesn't make it bad, doesn't make it that what we're doing is wrong. In fact, it makes us even that much more special. Please turn with me to 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. First Peter 2 and verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." When we look at this room of 100 and we see that we don't even count among the people that they called, of those 33 that are professing Christians, you can break them down. And if you break them, you still break them down, we still do not register as a number. You have to be considerably more. So we are a very special people in that respect. The American Standard Version calls us an elect race, a people for God's own possession. We are people that God has purchased. Specifically, we're a special people, a people given completely to God. The King James Version calls us a peculiar people in that we are special and God particularly chose us. We're a choice race, as Young's Literal calls us, a people acquired or purchased, as we mentioned before. When we see this, and we see this special calling that we have, we're not to let it go to our heads. Because with privilege comes responsibility. Luke 12 and verse 48. Luke 12 and verse 48 shows that we cannot sit back and rest on our laurels. Luke chapter 12 and verse 48. "But he who did not know, yet committed these things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with a few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." When we go back over the list of 100, and we looked at all the things that the world does not have in general, yet we do. As I look around the room and as I was preparing the message and I was thinking about each one of us individually, I went through the list. We have all these things. And on top of those physical blessings, we have the spiritual blessing, that calling, that special calling of God. And because of this, much is required because much has been given. We have that right now, in these times, while the rest of the world suffers. But let's note what conditions Paul did it in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. Paul here is addressing these false apostles and ministers who were around him at the time and what they had been saying they had been doing. And so Paul had to address them. He had to speak up, as it were, as a fool. In beginning in verse 23, he says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more." Now, notice what he says. "In labors more abundant." This is what Paul is saying that he is doing. He was abundant in labors. He was abundant doing the work of God, following the example of Christ. But note the conditions that he did these labors in. Note, we know Paul. We know all the epistles that he wrote. We know the works of Paul and how he followed Christ. But note what he did it in, how the conditions were at the time. He did it in stripes above measure, while in prison more frequently, in death often. Jews, from the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with a rod. He was stoned, shipwrecked a night and a day in the sea. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, the city, the wilderness, the sea, and among false brethren. And then 27, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides other things. That's what Paul did it in. And here we are now today, by comparison, what are the conditions that we are being asked to do this in? Does God expect any less from us today, His true servants? Especially when we have been given so much and in such good times. Brethren, we have been given physical and spiritual blessings in great measure. What are we going to do with this opportunity?